your notes in front of me and be able to follow along this morning. And I want you guys to understand that last song and the one we sang before it. From the foundation of the earth, He knew that on May the 2nd, 2021, the four of you would be sitting there. He knew that Devarius' table would be empty. He knew where you were going to college. He knew your name. And I promise you that He's got a good plan for you if you'll forsake the world and follow Him. And as I stand here this morning, it's happened more than one time, but I'm thinking right now, particularly in my heart, visiting with an 18, 19-year-old young person in our house, Jeannie and I, not at the counter where so much happens, but in at the dining room table. And we shared the gospel message with this young lady, and we talked about following Christ. And she said these words, "I'm just not ready. I'm not through doing what I want to do." And I can tell you that the 10 years since then have not been kind. So, pretty soon in this scripture, we're going to read the Deuteronomy scriptures about blessings and curses. And that's what the Bible speaks of. They're blessings. Would you adults agree? They're blessings when you serve the Lord. And there's curses when you don't. So, this morning I want to just kind of speak to you guys, kind of like I do when I go to the jail and haven't spoken to some people before. Not that I haven't spoken to all of you over the years, but I want you to know there's some scriptures that people don't like to look at. And just this last week in Pike County Jail, I shared these scriptures with a 50-year-old guy, and he was amazed these scriptures were in God's Word. Because we've already sang songs about that this morning. Matthew 7, 13 and 14, you can follow along. And I'm going to quote it too in the NIV, and you've got it in the ESV. "Enter by the narrow gate." It's in your program, inside the front page probably. Front page of your program. You can turn in your new Bibles if you want to. Matter of fact, that's great. Matthew, the 7th chapter. Just turn in that new Bible. I'm glad you can find it too. That's a good sign. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and few find it." Now, you talk about the many and the few. There were a few people when the flood came. Did y'all hear me? There were a few people when the flood came. And they all perished in the judgment except 8 people. That's the narrow, the straight, the wide, the broad, destruction, or blessing. And then look at Matthew 7, 21 through 23. This is the fact of the matter. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Now, we know you're not saved by works, but we also know people who really say, "Lord, Lord," will live by God's Word. That will be their purpose. Now, it gets bad for preachers now. It says this, "On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name?' And then he will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" So if we are a child of God, we will, not only will He know us, amen, but we will know Him and who He is. Deuteronomy 11, 26 through 28 is that scripture that talks about blessings and curses. "See, I'm setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessings, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God." And I'll just tell y'all, there's 10 commandments. That's a good place to start. Now, there's many commands in God's Word, but if you want to cut to the chase, if you will do your best to live by the 10 commandments, your life is going to be blessed. So it's not real complicated. It's all found in 17 verses in Exodus chapter 20. So I'm setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today. And the curse if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way that I'm commanding you today to go after other gods that you've not known. So you are either going to follow God or another god. And primarily the world would be the other god that you would decide to follow. Now, so as I prayed and thought about our graduation services, and I realized that we needed to dedicate the whole day to them, I was convinced of that. Because I'm convinced that over the next 10 years, I'm 70 years old, and I can't really imagine all that's going to happen in your lives in the next 10 years. And you surely can't. You know, you can barely see August the 9th and holding up your hand and swearing your allegiance to the United States of America and to the Marines. Going off to college, you can just barely see that. And things are going to come so rapidly at you. But a lot of things are going to happen. The next 10 years are for sure the years in which decisions will be made that just don't affect you, but generations to come. Listen to this scripture, Deuteronomy 7, 9. These are all in your program. Know, therefore, that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love Him and keep His commandments. How far? To a thousand generations. So, the way you live your life will impact generations to come after you. So, I want to set them up, don't you? Wouldn't you like to set them up to be blessed? We surely would. And that's why we're here today. And so that's why I want to talk to you about some things today. And I'm so glad. I may not get through them all, but I'm sure glad that I wrote them down so you can take them with you. All right. So here's what I've heard from past graduates in the last week. Okay. So the question was, if you had known, what would you have liked to have been told when you were 18 years old and graduated from high school? One thing you were told. And many of them said, I probably was. I just didn't listen. Okay? So, pray all of them that they'll listen, okay? So, this was one. Watch your choices. Every choice you make will affect your future. Enjoy life, but be responsible. Faith, hard work, and dedication will allow you to achieve much. Keep God first. And run to Him whenever you see yourself straying. The second was this. Know who you are. Did you know you're being here today? You are self-identifying as someone of faith. So know that that's how people also see you. A Christian, and that means that you are His. And also, the word was from this person, know whose you are. You're not your own. You're the Lord's. He's the Creator. We're the creature. He is the owner of His what? Creation. Know whose you are. Know that He is God Almighty, the God of creation. And realize that you have self-identified that you represent Him. So keep that in mind. The next one. It's okay to fail. Some of you may have already failed. A lot of times people fail on their ACT test or some standardized test. And the devil plants in their mind, you're not capable of doing this. Don't be fearful to fail. Keep this in mind. Successful people are the ones that have failed and have learned from it and grown through it. Even those educational failures can be overcome. You may not do well on a test. Maybe later you do well. Just determine that with determination and hard work, you can probably get any kind of degree you want to get. You just got to work at it. Don't be scared to fail. You know these light bulbs that we got? History says that Thomas Edison failed 10,000 times in coming up with the incandescent light bulb. Aren't we glad he kept trying? So you fail, get up and try again. I would suggest that if you have any interest in further education, that you go to college or trade school now. Because in my opinion, it doesn't get any easier to advance your education than now. Keep that in mind. There are scholarships out there. You could stay home. You could work. You could pay your way through college and go to Cossetot or somewhere else. You make good grades, you can get scholarships. Just remember that when things happen like marriage and children and debt and responsibility, it always gets harder to get an education. I can tell you, if you have any interest in education, now's the time to do it. Surround yourself with positive influences. As a matter of fact, the last one I got this morning, and Jeannie doesn't like me to bring my phone over here, let alone into the pulpit, but I want to read you the last one that I got this morning. And this one says, it's hard to pinpoint one thing because there was so much I didn't listen to. So it's hard to think of one thing that they wish they had listened to. But here was the comment. You become like the people you surround yourself with. Just remember that. That's what you're going to become like. People, you need to surround yourself with people that will hold you accountable. People that will speak the truth. You need to have someone you can talk to on a regular basis. Earn everything and don't expect handouts. Save money. Do not stop going to church. Don't live with or become sexually active before marriage. That was all from one person. Wait, wait, wait. Be patient. And while you're waiting, serve the Lord and other people. Great advice. 18 or 35, and God's not yet sent you a spouse, wait on the one the Lord's got for you. Check your money. I would say this. If you're going to have to go into inexorbitant debt to get education, you might want to consider going to work. I just want to tell you, you would not believe at the debt that I hear people getting out of college with. It doesn't have to be that way. You can work and go to college if you have to. Get every scholarship you can, but don't be afraid to work. I want to talk to you just a second about freedom. Man, I don't have a set of car keys, but car keys bring freedom. Graduation from high school brings freedom. Going off to college brings freedom. Living outside your parents' control brings a lot of freedom. But I want to tell you, there's no real freedom unless you're living for the Lord. Matter of fact, freedom outside the Lord brings bondage. So look for freedom, but look for the freedom that comes within the context of the Lord. Staying on the tracks. Willingly stay under God's authority. You have practiced for 18 years being under the authority of your parents. I want to tell you, you're passing off now to a higher authority, whether you recognize it or not. And the reason you learn respecting your parents is so you learn to respect your next authority, who is the Lord. You are still under His authority. Ten Commandments are a good place to start. Just live with them as a guide. And the last thing is, slow down with life. Slow down. Take a deep breath. It's all going to be a whirlwind. Just take a deep breath and slow down. So I want to look quickly at 10 things I want to tell you today that I want, and they're kind of in order, but not necessarily. Number one, fear the Lord and know the Lord. Now, why did I bring up fear the Lord and knowing the Lord in the beginning? Well, read the scripture with me. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If you don't fear the Lord, you will never gain real knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fear the Lord. Job 28:28, and he said to man, behold, the fear of the Lord is wisdom, and to turn away from evil is understanding. That's being wise. John 17:3 talks about knowing the Lord. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. So we've already looked at several scriptures this morning that says you must know the Lord. He said to those who were on the wide path and the narrow path, the ones that said we prophesy in your name and drive out demons, perform many miracles, what did he say to them? I never knew you. You must know the Lord. He knows you, but do you know Him? And one of the things that you must do to have knowledge is to fear the Lord and to know the Lord. This is a James Montgomery Boyce quote. When you fear the Lord, your walk will be marked by uprightness, confidence, and protection. If you fear the Lord and if you know the Lord. How do we know the Lord? We know Him through prayer. You adults, how well do you know the Lord? You know Him through Bible reading and study. This Bible is all about the Lord and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. You know Him through corporate prayer and private worship. We've already looked at the Matthew 7:21-23, but look at the last verse 23. And then He will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Know the Lord. And that is a serious knowing. That's knowing Him intimately. Number two, money. Wow. Probably of all the people that responded, almost all of them mentioned how quickly money can get you in trouble. So here's a couple of things about money. Look at Malachi 3:8-10. Will a man rob God? Yet you're robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you in your tithes and contributions? You are cursed with a curse, for you're robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there's no more need. I want to encourage you to handle God's money wisely. I'm not a prosperity gospel preacher. I don't believe that any scripture, I don't believe that this scripture teaches that if you give God His portion, He's going to bless you financially. Here's what I believe that the scripture teaches. When you honor God with what He gives you in a paycheck, when you give it back to Him, He helps you order your finances in such a way that your finances will be blessed. You may not have much, but you'll manage it better than people that do have much. So, honor the Lord with what He's given you. Give to the Lord. You'll never regret it. From the first and with every check that you get, give to the Lord. This is great advice. You can listen to Dan Celia or whoever it might be you're listening to. But here's the rule. Give 10. Save 10 and put 10 back for an emergency. That's the great rule. And if you would, from now on, every check that you got, if you would do that, I promise you, down the road you'd say, that's the best financial decision I ever made. You won't ever miss it if you do it that way. So what that means is you give 10 to the Lord, that's pretty cut and dried. You save 10, you put it in some type of retirement fund, and then the other 10 you keep for a rainy day. They call it a rainy day fund. So you set that aside until you get 2 or 3 months worth of income set aside, and then you begin to put that back either into the Lord's work or back into your savings for retirement. It's great advice. This is another one, and we'll quickly pass over this because you're not here yet. When you get married, learn to live on the husband's income. If you ever start living on two incomes, you ladies know how long you're going to work? The rest of your careers. You've got to operate and live on the man's income. I'm telling you, that's a piece of advice that I wish everybody knew. When you get ready to borrow money, just borrow on his income. You borrow on two incomes, it's going to lock you in. as long as you've got that note. Live on one income. And if you ever want to talk to me about specifics, about finances or any of these things, you know where Jeannie and I stay? You're welcome at our house anytime. Don't go into debt to get your education. I just want to tell you, I think it's a bad move. As a matter of fact, I think it's immoral for the government to put you in a position that you can have that much debt when you graduate from college. You don't have to do it that way. Number three, flee sexual immorality. 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a man commits, person commits, is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. I want to just tell you straight up, every adult here this morning would tell you this. Sex can wait. It's made for the marriage. That's exactly the way God intended for it to happen. If you've already messed up, repent, change your ways. It's not that you can't be forgiven. Sex can wait. You want to do it right and it be good? Wait till you're married. That's when sex is good. Any sex outside the marriage relationship is a sin that has a great cost. Now, how do I know that? Throughout the Bible speaks of three things. Stay away from idols, stay away from sexual immorality, and stay away from the shedding of blood. Every time, it'll be those three. Even when they began to preach to the Gentiles, what were three things that they gave them? I gave you Acts 15:19-21. Therefore, my judgment is that we should not trouble those of the Gentiles who turn to God, but should write to them three things: to abstain from things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, and from what has been strangled, and from blood. For from ancient generations, Moses had as every city those who proclaim him, for he is read every Sabbath in the synagogues. Fear God, know God, watch your money, flee sexual immorality. And number four, and man, this is huge. Choose your lifelong, did you hear that? Not your week-long or month-long or year-long, your lifelong mate carefully. Other than following the Lord, it will have the greatest impact upon your life. Remember that you're choosing your mate wisely for a purpose, that you might have a godly marriage, a godly home, and raise godly offspring. 1 Corinthians 7:39, a wife is bound to her husband as long as he lives. But if her husband dies, she is free to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. You young ladies, he'll tell you anything you want to hear. And you don't need to believe a thing he says unless he's got some background to prove it. Let me just give you a couple, two or three things. When it comes to your lifelong mate, ask yourself this question: do they meet my parents' approval? If not, take the big magic marker, scratch it through. Do you know how it used to happen? Matter of fact, percentage-wise, worked out much better. You remember what Abraham did when he died? What did he do? He got his most trusted servant and sent the servant back to Padan Aram, to his family, to go get Isaac a bride. Tony Dungy, most of y'all don't even know him. says the quickest way to mess up your life is to marry the wrong person. Education, associate, trade certificate, degree. If you're going to do it, now's the time to do it. Already covered that. One last thing about study. Learn to study. Okay? Every one of you have got, you've got the mental capability to make passing grades. Quick story. I have a second cousin that was 2 years older than me. Okay? So, is that right? A year older than me. Anyway, so he started out a year ahead of me. Okay? He finished a year behind me. He failed 2 years either in elementary or junior high school, got things straightened out, went to college, and got his degree. So we're talking about failures. One failure, two failures, don't let it destroy you. Okay? But learn how to study quickly. Okay? I love this. I wish I'd have known this when I went to college my first semester. Instead of having four or five big old C's that equals a 2.0, okay, I would have had a better grade. And let me just tell you, when you have a 2.0 and you've got 16 or 18 hours, you work the rest of your whole 124 hours trying to get that to a 3 point. Okay? Let me tell you about study. Listen in class, take good notes, and just as soon as you can get out of class, review your notes. It'll put it in your brain, and you won't have to do all that cramming. I'm telling you, it's a great way to study. We'll talk about that sometime if you want to. So, fear the Lord and know the Lord. You adults paying attention? Money. Handle your money wisely. Flee sexual immorality. Choose your mate wisely. Get an education if it's on your mind. Listen, you don't have to have an education. But if you don't have an education, ask Braden. You're going to have to work hard. It's hard work. Getting up in the middle of the night and going to work. If you have an interest in an education, to get it. But you don't have to have one. You can still have a productive life. There's many people in here that's had a productive life that have no more than a high school education. Don't let failures discourage you. Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. Do not be discouraged. Listen, there are things that's going to happen in your life, whether it's losing a girlfriend or a failure on a test or you not get some appointment that you want. There's going to be failures. Do not be discouraged. Get up, wipe yourself off, and go on. Learn from your failures and move on. I don't know how this one got down to number 7. But in the day and time that we live in, you need to learn how to be a man or a woman, a husband, a wife, a father, a mother, because soon you're going to be doing those things. Titus 2:1-7. But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith and love and steadfastness. So that's what men should look like, older men. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They're to teach what is good. Now listen to this. Ladies, young ladies, and so train the young women. All right? So I wonder how much training we've had in the last 18 years for these young women for this. Okay? Verse 4. And so train the young women to love their husbands and children. I want to tell you, ladies, I hope you find that your greatest, other than loving your husband, to love your children and to raise your children. To be self-controlled, pure. Here's a novelty. Working at home. Kind and submissive to their own husbands. That the word of God may not be reviled. So, that's the kind of training you need to have a godly marriage and a godly household. Verse 6, likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity. And here's why. Here's why you need to study how to be a godly man and a godly woman, a godly husband, a godly wife, a godly father, a godly mother. Here's why. Look at Deuteronomy 6:4-9. Because here's what God expects of you as a mom or a dad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. Listen to this. This is your responsibility. You shall teach the commands of the Lord to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise. Now let me tell you, when you teach children in Sunday school, okay, you quickly find out which children are being taught at home the things of God. You know why it works so well when children are taught spiritual things at home? Because that's what God intended to happen. And that's the only way we're going to turn the church in America and America around. We must teach God's Word in the home. Listen to me. When you have children, the one that they know and the one that they desire to hear important things from is you. Not the preacher. They want to know that you are concerned about their souls and that you're willing to teach them spiritual things. So be prepared to do that. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You know what I'm talking about? Our whole life in raising our children revolves around the things of God. And we use every opportunity that comes along, whether it's a fishing trip or a hunting trip, or a ball, or something happens at school, or something happens at the breakfast table or the dinner table, we always bring it back to spiritual matters. That's the way it's supposed to work. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be frontlet between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your houses and on your gates. Here's what he says about Abraham. For I have chosen him. Look why he chosen him. To command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord. When you have children, I pray that God would ring this in your ears. It's your responsibility to command your children and your household, men, in the ways of the Lord. And the wife is to be the companion and the help of that. The way of the Lord, by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what He has promised him. This last admonition about raising your kids. When you decide to be... That's why you need to wait to be sexually active when you're married. Because once you begin to do those things that could produce a child, you know what that child's going to expect of you? To raise them. Okay? If you have a child, that child is going to expect for you to raise them. You need to be ready. You need to be mature enough to raise children. They want to be raised. God made them that way. I'm telling you, there's a window. There's a window in that child's life from the time it's in the womb until it becomes a rebellious teenager. Y'all don't know anything about that. You're already past that. But there's a little picture here in their life that they're teachable. Be ready and don't miss it. Now, let me just say this. Many of us have failed in this regard. Are you with me? All right. We need to repent, tell God and our children that we're sorry, and tell them, I'll be a part of helping you do better. Come on now. What did Miss Jimmy say? Once you know better, you ought to do better. I mean, somewhere in our Christian heritage, parents teaching their children at home have been lost. Amen? Listen, it's time we took it back. The first time that your children hear the Scripture read or somebody pray, it ought to be while they're in the mama's womb in your house that they hear it. And how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Really, Jeannie and I have been talking about this week. What if this generation took it by the horns and raised their kids to know the Lord? You know how quickly this country would make a turn? This is important. Get a mentor. Proverbs 13:20. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. You remember that advice I got on my phone this morning? Be careful who you surround yourself with. You're going to have a mentor. I promise you. There's somebody that's influencing your life. Just make sure they're godly people. I'd go a step further. I've had two real mentors in my life. And both of them came into my life at very critical times and spoke truth into my life and gave me wisdom way beyond my years of understanding. You're going to have a mentor. Just be careful who's influencing your life. And I'd go further and say, it's probably going to move pretty quickly from your mom and your dad's now. Okay? Because it's really hard. Your dad and your mom can always be there. They're always there for you. But now you're probably getting to the place that you guys need to have a godly man that you're watching. A godly man outside your home that you're watching. And you ladies need to have somebody. You look around the church. You look around your acquaintances. Guys, and you look at a guy and say, man, he treats his wife right. I think he's living for the Lord. I think he could teach me something. And you young ladies could look at the women in the church and say, which one of these women, when I get to be their age, do I want to be like? You could study them. They don't even have to know it. But probably many of them would be willing to pray for you and to speak truth into you. Be intentional in finding a good mentor. 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good character. Anybody out there say amen? Number 9. There is an absolute right and wrong. The world's not going to tell you that. The world's going to tell you it depends upon situations, which is pragmatism, or your opinion. There is a right and a wrong. Right here it is. The Ten Commandments. All of God's Word. There is a right and a wrong. If you would become students of and teachers of Genesis 1 through 11, and just tell yourself what I learned there, I'm going to live by it. I promise you, where you're going in the next 10 years, you're going to need that foundation. There's so much foundation in Genesis 1, chapters 1 through chapter 11. The Ten Commandments. There is a right and a wrong. Sexual immorality, sex outside the marriage is fornication, adultery. It don't matter how many of your friends are doing it, it's still adultery. It does not change. To not tell the truth is still a lie. It doesn't even mean, but you don't understand the circumstances I was in. There is an absolute right and wrong. There's an absolute moral law. Matthew 5:17 says, do not think that I've come to abolish the law of the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. This is the track. Billy's retired now, but all I remember. There was no worse phone call for Billy Barton to get or to give to me than this one. We've had a derailment. Because anytime there's a derailment on the railroad, somebody's likely to get fired. Okay? It's a bad deal. trains have tracks to run on, right? And as long as they stay on that track, they just put right along, right? If they get off that track, that's as far as they're going right there, right? Okay. You have a track to run on, okay? And it's God's Word. And as long as you're on that track, you may have ups and downs and you may have dips, but you're still on track. God's still got you. But when you get off this track, you're headed for trouble. And it could be way more costly than a derailment or a job. This is the track. And in closing, I challenge you not to be like that young lady that's probably approaching 30 now. I encourage you today to willingly and fully give your life to the Lord. Today. And dedicate your life to Him. Follow along in Romans 12, 1 and 2. It's great stuff. Therefore, I urge your brothers and sisters in view of God's mercy. Okay, He has been merciful to you. He has sent you a Savior. If you're willing to give your life to Him, you know that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. You know that He sent His Son to die on the cross. And considering all of that, the reasonable thing for you to do is to give your life to Him. But there's great benefit that comes to that. To offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, this is your true and proper worship. If you know God and you know what He's done for you and you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior and you understand what He's done for you, that's just the reasonable thing to do. All right? But it gets good. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then listen to the next phrase. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So, give your life to the Lord, fully dedicate your life to the Lord, and He will show you His will for you, and He'll also show you how good that will be. That it's good and pleasing. But there's something you have to do. And that something is, you've got to right now say, I'm going to forsake what the rest of the world has, and I'm going to give you my life. Great benefits come with that. Mark 1, 14 and 15. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent. So, the simple thing, we could talk about sins, and there are sins that we have been involved in that we must be killing out in our life when we become a Christian. There's no doubt about that, and that will go on the rest of your life. But to repent really means that until you give your life to the Lord, you've been going your own direction. But to repent means you are willing to say, God, because God of what you've done for me, I'm willing to turn around and I want to go your direction now. That's real repentance. And then have faith in God. Have faith in what? I'm a sinner. Christ died for my sins. He was resurrected for my forgiveness, my salvation, my justification. And if I give my life to Him and trust in Him, I'll have an eternal home in heaven. And it's all proved by the way that I live my life after that. So repent and believe Christ and trust in Christ for your salvation. And one last thing. You guys have been around enough to know that I love John Bunyan. John Bunyan wrote the book Pilgrim's Progress. It was written in the 1600s. It's still the number two bestseller. Y'all hear me? It's not the New York Times bestseller this week. It's the number two bestseller ever, Pilgrim's Progress. And next to God's Word, it's the greatest spiritual book ever written. And so before he wrote Pilgrim's Progress, he spent 18 months in a prison cell seeking after the Lord for the Lord to save him. So I want to read you a scripture and follow up on that in closing. Jeremiah 29:11-13. He knows our name. We sang the song. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Listen to this, verse 12. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will hear you. Listen to this, young people. Adults, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Man, it's already happening. Brayden's already gone to work. Darlene's already gone to college. August the 9th, you're reporting to the Marines. And what day you got to be at UCA? You know yet? Oh, okay. So look, we got a little window here, okay? We got a little window here. And in that time frame, I encourage every one of you to prayerfully on your knees, crying, talking to the Lord, making sure that you're a child of God, making sure that you're a follower of Jesus, making sure that you know who you are. You're a sinner in need of a Savior. You're His creation. He's the Creator and He's the Savior. Make sure that you've given your life to the Lord. You have a little window to do that. So what can all of you do? Yeah, I mean, we all out here know that they're at a real crossroads, right? So, church, come on. Somebody tell me the responsibility to pray. Pray for all the saints. Pray especially for these that are at such a crossroads. Because the fork they take right now, either the world or the Lord, is surely going to impact generations to come. You guys have been so patient, and I want to tell you, really, listen to me. You wouldn't believe how thrilled I would be for the knock on the door and to go to the door and be one of you guys. And you say, have you and Miss Jeannie got just a little time to answer a couple of questions? You know where we live. You know when you're welcome there? Listen, I have a phone now that stays on all day and all night. Listen, you're in trouble? Call me. You're about to make a bad decision? Talk to the Lord? Call me. If you're in trouble? Call me. Okay? Because I don't want to just be your pastor and all of a sudden you're gone. Okay? I want to see God have an impact in your life. And by the grace of God, if He could use me or any of these men and women here, somebody say amen. We'd be thrilled for them to come to our house. Amen. We'd be thrilled. Tom? Come.